The Dead Pair podcast is brought to you by the Elite Experience, Elite Shotguns, and is fueled by Fiocchi.
Paul?
Welcome to the Dead Pair podcast, coming in hot with everything you want to hear about sporting clays.
Guy Fieri.
How are you, gentlemen? Thanks for having me.
Anthony Matarese Jr., how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Welcome back, David Radulovic.
That's a net positive.
Brad Kidd.
Corey Cruz. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Now I feel awkward.
With your hosts, Jason Rambo.
One more Red Bull for you.
And Sean Alley.
Woo, yeah!
Christmas.
Let's do it.
Often imitated but never duplicated. It's the Dead Pair Podcast.
The Dead Pair.
And now, it's showtime.
What do you say there, large and in charge?
Jason Rambo, how the heck you been, man?
Oh, dude. Just trying to work hard so I can get my ramen noodles out of layaway.
Yeah, well, it's a struggle. We're finally picking up here. January and February was a little slow at work, but now we got some good weather here in Ohio, and I think that's just got everybody motivated to get out there and get working. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Starting to do that. Been shooting anything cool lately?
No, I haven't. I've been focusing. Last time I shot was a Florida challenge. Just been focusing on getting a lot of stuff done around here so I can start traveling and shooting again, but speaking of which, comes to shooting, thank you very much to Elite Shotguns, Fiocchi USA, Atlas Traps, Rhino Chokes, RE Ranger, Odo Pro Technologies, Vero Beach Clay Shooting, Don Grant, Score Chaser, and even Rad Chad Roberts himself. Thank you very much to everyone that stands behind us. Sean, we have, and I don't mean to cut off our chit-chat, but we've got a large tourney talk to get to. You want to do that real quick?
Yep, I'll get wound up for it.
It's Tourney Talk. Brought to you by Score Chaser.
All right, like Jason said, we got a bunch of these. We got the YO Sporting Clays Championship at Casper Skeet, June 20th through the 23rd. Next up, the Alaska State at Birchwood, June 9th through the 23rd. The Minnesota State FeeTask and Supersport at Minnesota Horse and Hunt, June 21st through the 23rd, Tennessee State Super Sporting and Five Stand at Crossville, June 28th through the 30th, Canadian FeeTask Championship at Galt Sportsman's, May 31st through June 2nd. Also, the Canadian National Championship is also at Galt Sportsman's, August 2nd through the 4th. And finally, the Vermont State Championship at Northeast Kingdom, August 1st through 4th. All of those are up on Score Chaser and active now. Hurry up and get your spot before they're all gone.
And that's not the YO Sporting Clays, you ding-dong. That's the Wyoming Sporting Clays.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm reading your notes here. I'm like, okay.
Oh, gee, Christmas.
Well, stop being lazy and type it out, dang it.
No, you didn't take shorthand, did you? So.
No, I did not. I did not. I took hieroglyphics. Nobody can read my handwriting. So.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're talking some NSCA rule changes and some new rules that are being implemented. And, you know, Sean, opinions are... You know, my favorite saying is opinions are like shotgun shells in this sport. You know, they're as plentiful as you can come by. And it's one of those things, it's real easy to misread or misunderstand something. If you're on all the social media sites, you know, that everybody's talking, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's that. Well, how about we just get somebody from the executive council of the NSCA on, the people that made the rules and made the changes, and ask them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's definitely been a hot button of discussion. I mean, definitely when this rule change happened at the first of the year, I mean, that's all you saw over social media is like the downclass, the griping, the whining, the questions, all that other stuff. I mean, again, right. It was kind of a shock because nobody was prepared for it, and I understand that. But hey, like you said, let's get somebody on that really knows the ins and outs, and let's hear what they have to say.
Well, it's not only the rule changes and new rules that came out the first of the year, but, you know, you and I are delegates. We just voted on some new rules that are rolling out too. So,
right.
We're going to get Mark Baltazar. A lot of you know him from AFS, but Mark Baltazar is on the executive council and we're going to get him on to answer these questions. Real quick, before we do so, a reminder, we need your questions for the coaches and also for Dr. Grace from Odo Pro Technologies. She's going to be joining us and answering your questions. It's kind of exciting. She's looking forward to this. She wants to hear, you know, what's on your mind about hearing, right? So anything right. To do with your earballs that you're interested in with shooting, whether it's her products or maybe it's a question about hearing in general, she'd love to come on. She is an audiologist. She'd love to answer your questions. So make sure you get those sent to us. You can send them through social media. You can send them through our website, through the contact button. I don't care. Send a messenger pigeon or smoke signals. Just get us those questions.
Just get us those questions. And also, I'd like to remind everybody real quick, Jason, that guys, the clubs and coaches pages are up. Lots of people are starting to fill those in. Definitely take advantage. I mean, we've got a huge audience. So if you're a coach, you're a club, get signed up. You're going to see a lot of benefit from that. We are also going to add the feature that we are going to announce, like just a random club, just a rundown on a future podcast to get some more value out of that. So again, if you're a coach, if you're a club, get signed up, get out there to the biggest audience of sporting clay shooters out there in the country and reap the benefits from that.
That's right. You get what you pay for. All right. Let's move on. Let's get Mark Baltazar on the phone, Sean. The Dead Pair. All right, everyone. We're going to get the straight answers. Let me welcome first vice chairman. A lot of you know him as the AFS guy, Mr. Mark Baltazar. What's up, Mark?
Hello, gents. How's it going?
Good. Mark, you're...
I feel like I'm in the hot seat for this one.
Yeah, it's going to get a lot hotter, Mark. Sorry.
Yeah, Sean said, that's just frying, you know? So.
Nice.
Mark, you're across the pond right now, aren't you?
I am. I'm in Nice, France. Nice is nice. Yep.
Nice. Well, it was important for us to get you on here. There's been a lot of talk, you know, if you want to make the big mistake of getting on social media, you can find all kind of misinformation, but we want to get down to the bare facts of what the NSCA has changed and the new rules. So, Mark, first of all, let's kind of introduce, you're on the executive council, you're the first vice chairman. Explain to everyone, without going into detail, how that works, the executive council.
Great. So, thanks. Yeah, so... everybody in states nominates national delegates, right? There's a set of national delegates. We all vote on them within our states. Those folks are represent their states at the national meeting in San Antonio, plus they vote on rule changes. So that's their job. They're also there as the on-ground voice for members. If they're out shooting or just talking to folks, and they're the opportunity for other members to just ask what's going on or to get more information or to pass stuff along, like rule changes, things like that. That's how we get a lot of our information. Now, each of the five regions then nominate. Once you become a national member, you raise your hand up and say, I'd like to be considered for the executive council. So the regions, each region votes on, the delegates vote on their executive council members. So there's a total of 15 executive council members, three from each region represented. Now, that is the executive council that meets in San Antonio every year. On top of that, five members, one from each of the region then is nominated, or they self-nominate and are voted on by the executive council to become the leadership of the council, and that is chairman, first chairman, second chairman, secretary, and parliamentarian. So there's one executive of the executive council from each of the regions. They don't do anything in particular. They don't do anything that the EC doesn't know. They just have little fancy titles that mean nothing, and I'm one of those.
Gotcha. All right, so I guess that gives us some groundwork as to who's involved, what's going on, how the rule changes are made, and how the discussion goes based on the national delegates all the way up the chain of command. So let's talk a little bit about the rule changes. I'll let you just kind of dive in. Explain to us, I mean, obviously there's the down class thing has been a hot topic, but there's many more than that. Explain to us what they are and how they've been implemented and everything that was involved to get to where we are now.
Great. Why don't we take one of them, you know, one at a time? So the way these things happen is every year in January, there is a executive council meeting. The 15 members fly to San Antonio on their own dime, stay in hotels on their own dime, rent cars on their own dime, and come and spend 3 days in San Antonio away from their clubs, their families, their shooting, whatever it is. So it's a big ask, and they do it with pride. So over those 3 days, there's a lot of meetings. There's, if you're the first chairman or the chairman, you are also on the finance committee with the NSSA. It's a joint committee. We look at all the investments. We look at all the way monies are spent, and we approve money across both organizations. There's also strategy planning. There's lots of committees that meet. And then at the end of that, so that lasts about from Thursday to Friday morning. Then starting on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning, each one of the two groups meet independently, the NSCA and the NSSA. The NSSA goes and does their thing, and we do our thing. And that, and what we do is we meet about four times a month. And we're, you know, we're dealing with issues on phone calls and Zoom calls throughout the year. But we do a lot of planning, and everybody on the executive council has asked for suggestions about what they want to do, rules they want to implement, things they want to change about the organization, lots of planning. And there were so many this year of new business, we call it, that usually we review all the old business, and it's stuff that we've heard 1,000 times. Michael Hampton Jr. said, look, there's so much new business, let's just cut right through it, because new business is usually the last thing. So we just jumped right into stuff. These 15 people, I mean, there are people like Tim Miles, Anthony is on it, Brad Hopkins is on it. So those folks all got together, and we had a big list of things that we want to accomplish. And the output of that is some of the things that hit the ground here. Not everything resulted in that, but these were all recommendations by the executive council from things they had heard from members, that they heard from national delegates. And it wasn't we just came up with this. This was a lot of input, and we've been talking about it for years. And everybody was going, it's never going to happen. You know, the executive leadership at NSCA is not going to allow this. It's going to be too disruptive. And we just said, okay, well, we are the, you know, we're the council. Let's put it forward and let them tell us no. Well, guess what? They didn't say no. So the biggest thing, I think the thing that's gotten the biggest response to begin with, because it sort of hit the ground running back in January, was the downclassing issue. And as you said, there's nothing more exciting to social media channels than controversy, and they jumped into it. And actually, I have to tell you, I got a lot of private messages, DMs, and texts with a lot of good information. And I leaned on people to give me data. I got a spreadsheet from a member that ran numbers, and they were just so insightful. You know, data tells the truth. And once people really started looking at it, they go, oh, I see. I get it. You know, I mean, we look at data, and I've made a commitment to get more data published because, like, even the executive council members didn't know how many people exactly, even though it's out there, how many people were in masterclass and all that, how many people had not been reviewed in 2 years. There's just a lot of stuff that once you start looking at all the data tells a story, and the data goes, you know, it's like masterclass has become a parking lot for a lot of people. And that wasn't the original intention. The intention was to make it like the quote unquote pro class, make it hard to get in. But the truth is if you shoot enough in 1 year, every little thing, you're going to get your punches and you're going to get there. You know, so the first thing to go, this is not a rule. How downclassing is not a rule. So this did not need a vote. This was all addressed in our meetings and we passed it. There are several things. There were also rules that we wrote new rules to that then have to go to the national delegation to vote on before they're passed because they're actual rule changes. So these are not rules. So it's nobody voting on it. The people that voted on were the 15 executive council members. And guess what? You nominated those people. If you don't like what they did, or if you have changes, either jump on the council or, you know, vote some new people in or whatever you want. But we are your voice and we want to hear your voice so that we can make a decision that's not just based upon our own experience and belief, but is really that we represent the organization. That's what the vote for the rule changes does by the national delegates, because there's a lot of national delegates. They truly are the voice. That's why they get sent out and voted on. And I will give a little preview here when we get to the rule changes. The rule changes vote is still out. It's Monday the 7th. The 8th is the last day, but there are some early tallies out. We have people at the election polls counting votes early, and it looks like every single rule change that we proposed is winning by massive margins. It's going to be passed by massive margins. And by the time this is out on the 14th or whenever it comes out, we will know those results. But I can feel pretty confident, but I can't say truly officially that they've all passed. So when we get to rules, these are going to be implemented immediately and moving forward. Some of the rules apply to 2025, and we'll get into those. Okay. There we go. That's the stage. So downclass. So downclassing was an effort to one, right-size the classes and put people in classes that they're appropriate for. And the way that we determine that is their punch status, how much they've shot, and their CCFR score, which is called current class finish ratio. It's just basically whoever is the top shooter, they're 0-0-0. And the numbers go down from there. So if you're a 0.4, you are in the top 40 percentile. If you're a 0.6, you're in the 60 percentile. If you're 0.9, you suck, you know, and you're probably not even shooting, with all due respect to number nines. Okay. So there is a CCR cutoff, and I think it was at 60, but we moved it up to 40. And we changed a set of punches that you would be downclassed on. We raised those numbers. That's basically it. So the facts are is only shooters who started and ended the year in the same class and shot a minimum of 500 targets or more will be eligible for in-class review. Okay. If you've accumulated fewer than the following requirements for punches and your CCR is greater than 4.0, the shooter will be reviewed in downclass. Okay. Meaning greater, meaning not 3 point, but 5, 6, 7. Okay. So that was 4.0. We raised that from 0.6 to 0.4. So we took 20 more percent of the people. And the punches were if you had fewer punches than 15. So if you had 15, you stayed in, no matter what your CCR is. Double A was less than 7. A was less than 6, B was less than 5, C was less than 3, and D was less than 2. And well, that's the bar.
Let me jump in there real quick. I have a question about that.
Yep.
So I had exceeded, I'm using me as an example. Yep. In AA, I had exceeded the punches, but my CCFR was like a 0.41. So what, when that happens to anybody, let's say they don't meet the CCFR requirement, but they meet the punch requirement. Does one outweigh the other?
No, I think either one knocks you down. I'm not certain about that, but I think if you got knocked down and your CCR was higher, the other way around.
Yeah,
then you got knocked down. I think you have to pass both.
Okay.
Okay. So that is that. We set the bar high because we wanted to make a big cut. You know, based upon the conversations that were happening, remember now, we just cut the classes by 60%, right? Guess what? If you were 0.4, if you were at just made that cut, next year you're at the bottom because we're going to cut it again at 60 maybe, right? The people that come in will stay in because once you come into a class, you cannot be knocked out of class the first year because you didn't have enough time to, you know, if you came in November after nationals, if you came in and then got knocked down because you had no punches, that doesn't make sense. So you will have a whole other year to get in, right? But so those people that stayed in now are at the bottom and there's going to be a cut again next year. One of the things that, you know, if we cut 60% every year, is there going to be anybody left in classes? Not as much. So one of the things we're going to look at is, do we, you know, relax the CCR number a bit? I believe it's going to take 3 years before we get ourselves totally, totally sorted and in place. You know, it's going to take a few cuts to go through this and see how people are coming back, you know, quicker. Listen, if you come back to me, I never refused a down class, and I bet everything I could on myself, you know, the first until I punched in, and I made $3,000 to $5,000 every year, every time I got down class, you know, it was great. And then I would suck in master, you know? So that's the thinking there. So we can, if you'd like to, we can talk about how we're going to even accelerate it next year. Would you like to do that? So what the plan is for next year?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure everybody would like to know what's going to happen next year for sure.
Yeah. And we want to do it because what we want is, you know, on social media, they talked about this in January and February, and then a lot of guys shot 100 at the last tournament last week. And that now that's all social media is talking about, right? They're not talking about the down class anymore or anything, right? So this will give them something to change the conversation. Oh, by the way, Zach just shot 100 at the Western. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep. Well, it's the shiny penny, Mark. It's the shiny penny.
Yep. One of the things I say about 100, who cares? I'd love to see a shoot off with three guys at 100. You know, it doesn't matter.
Awesome.
Do you want to do that always? Maybe not. But I have to tell you, all the people who are lower in the class whose scores are higher are going to feel really good about that. And, you know, we have a whole conversation. Okay. So next year, we are talking about what's interesting is this year, I think we said, or maybe it's next year, I think we also put people in, if they had not shot any targets in 2 years, we downclass them as well. Yeah. A shooter had not shot any registered targets in the past 2 years, 22 and 23, were downclassed by one class. And you would be amazed how many people there are that haven't shot another target. They basically got signed up at a charity shoot or something because it's free to sign up, and then never competed again. What's interesting is that gap between the people that haven't shot anything and the people that shot less than 500, they don't get reviewed. And we're going to look at that as well, too. We just want to clear the classes and put people where they are. If they aren't shooting, why are they in that class? You know, if they're not shooting for one reason or another, why are they in the class? Because, let's get the classes right. And let's talk a little bit about why we're doing this. Because people go, why does it matter? You know?
Yeah.
Well, to competitors, it does matter, right? Like, I want to be competitive. And we believe this is actually going to get people shooting a little bit more to get themselves back into their class or to stay in their class. You know, the fear is a lot of people are going to quit. A lot of people said, if I get punched down, I'm quitting. Okay, well, are you a competitive shooter or are you a hobbyist? And I think that is sort of a mission and purpose question that needs to be answered. My answer is I think it can be both, right? Yeah. We can be a competitive group, but we can also be a hobby and a fun, you know, game that people go play. But the distinction there is if it's going to be competitive, let's make it competitive like any other sport. Guess what? Tiger Woods did not automatically qualify for the U.S. Open this year for the first time ever. He got back in, but he had to earn it some way. I forgot what it was, but even he is going to be downclassed one day, right? So every sport that's truly competitive downclasses people to their appropriate ranking, right? Every sport. And if we truly want to be a sport that's marketable, any marketer would say, what is this? You know, this is a mess. Like, you got people in there that shouldn't be in there. How is this a prestigious sport? Right. Then if you're a hobbyist, why do I care? I earned my master's. Well, if you're just a hobbyist and you're here for fun, why do you care what class you're in? You know, you can't get into a competitive game and a hobbyist and say, I want to keep my thing. No, you're competing right now. Yeah, it's your hobby, and then why do you care? If you're really not competing, then why do you care what class you're in? You know, so that's sort of the two theories. This will create a lot of conversation online. Great, let's have that conversation. But that really is the thing. And based upon reactions, when everybody settled out, everybody's tending to agree. Yes, there is a small percentage. And one of the numbers we're going to run is how many people refuse down class, right? Last year was 5%. I was betting with the guys and the guys, the men and the women of the executive council, I bet this is going to grow it a bit. And I'll be curious to see when we settle it all out, how big of a percentage it went. But next year, we're working on, and we're going to have discussions about no refusal of down class. You cannot refuse it. Now, there's some variations in that. You know, even within the group, everybody, you know, there's shooters in the group. They go, well, like, what if I just had a bad year and I had to go back to work, you know, and like, can, how do I, you know, I'm still a good shooter. I just didn't get to as many as I wanted to. Can I get out? And so one of the discussions we're going to have is, you know, once every 5 years, once in a lifetime, a refusal, you know, I think 5 years is good. You know, I'd love to hear what people say, you know, and what people's thoughts are. But I do think it's good. It's like, you just can't refuse it, you know? So we're moving. We're probably going to move there. What your sort of get out of jail for free card is going to be, we don't know yet. That's some discussions. And if people have opinions, which everybody does, would love to hear them. So that's one of the things. So no opt-out of the year in reviews, none of that. You will still be able to upclass yourself. Somebody on social media just yesterday was saying, I want to refuse. And I said to him, it's too late. He said, well, and the people were saying, well, you can declare up, you know, except you can't declare up in the Masters. And I bet him $100 he wouldn't be back up in 6 months. He said, I'll bet you $1,000 I'm not up by the end of the year. He had a problem. He had to work, you know, and he doesn't want to have to start all over again. I mean, that is the thing. When you get downclassed, you start with zero punches. You do not bring your punches down with you. If you're downclassed or Masters, they're master class punches. They aren't double A punches, you know, and if you're good enough, go get them. You know, I get mine in the first 4 months, you know, so that's sort of that. I'll take a pause there, see if there's any questions around the downclass, and then we'll press on.
Sean, do you have any questions about downclass?
The only thing I was going to ask is, if this continues, Mark, and obviously Masterclass has always been one of the largest classes, especially like when you go to the Nationals or a big blast event, do you think that's going to hurt the guys that are in Masterclass as far as not as many competitors paying into the pot? Because I know a lot of those guys go for the money aspect of things. I mean, what's your opinion on that?
You mean all $400 of that purse that they're going for? Sure. Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. And there's some things that let's talk about them now. So this is new news, breaking news. Next year at the 7 events, all 5 regionals, the U.S. Open and Nationals, we are going to introduce pro squads, and it's all the people that are in the super squads. So whatever the criteria is to become a super squad member, those people will be shooting in a separate class.
Hmm.
So about 80 people, and that number may come down a bit, are going to be moved out of master and moved into their own separate class for pay only. So it will be a concurrent. Okay. It will be a concurrent. That means that money comes out of Masterclass of those shooters, and now they're all together. And what we're going to do for the first year is figure out a formula of what money they would have made if they stayed in Masterclass, and the marketing budget is going to fill that up. And it's not a lot of money, actually. We did the math on it. Okay. And then following years, we're going to figure out how to finance that. Now, here's what's interesting. Those 7 events, there will be a pro class, right, or a pro squad, whatever it's called. Masterclass now, those people who could never win because those people were in it, now you're going to be able to win Masterclass. Now we're getting to what Masterclass meant to be. And because it's a pro class, that will change based upon your performance every year. So those 80 people will not always be the same 80 people. The top half will be the same, but the bottom half is going to change and churn in there. Right now, it is just not the main event of all these 7 events. It's every 12 gauge event at all 7 of those shoots. Okay.
Wow.
So every 12 gauge 100 bird shoot will have its own separate payout and awards and all that. Okay. Masterclass will have winners who have never won Masterclass before, right?
So let me ask you this, Mark. Is it the hope of the NSCA or the executive council that is separating the super squad, that going beyond those 7, state shoots will follow eventually, you know, smaller big blast shoots will follow that lead?
No, because here's the thing. I mean, listen, it can always be a concurrent. Brett Seibert 2 years ago or 3 years ago at his U.S. Open or whatever he had, he created a super squad as a concurrent, right? The problem with doing it in the state, there's only a certain, like, if you're only shooting the state shoot, not all of those 80 pro class shooters are going to that state shoot, right? So it's not going to happen that way. Does that make sense? You know,
yeah.
Big blast, you're not getting every tee. But those are the top shooters. They're trying to qualify for All-American, trying to qualify for the world shoots, right. You know, all that. So they always get the biggest attendance, right? So that's that.
Okay.
For that class, right? And yeah, that's 2025 next year. Okay, not this year.
Okay. Well, Mark, do you want to run into some of the new rules that's came out? I mean, we've talked about the changes, unless we're missing something.
Yep. There's a couple other things that we changed that weren't rules, which is sub-gauge classification. So the intention of the sub-gauge was to never be below one class of your 12-gauge. And somehow that got misconstrued, whatever it was. But it ended up broken. There were people who were in master class who showed up at nationals in D class, you know, and just whipped everybody in D class. And so, like, there was a lot of grumbling about that, and rightfully so, you know. And I don't think it was ever the intention of the rule. It was just not written as good as it could have been. And we basically tweaked it. So basically, it's and this is part of the rule changes. So now you can never be lower than one class of your 12 gauge. You can be equal to or higher of your 12 gauge, but you cannot be lower. What they don't want is anybody just like I've never shot 12 gauge, so I must be a D, you know, and walking in on D or E or whatever it is and just blowing everybody away. So one class lower and you can be equal to or higher, but never one lower. So when you go to master, I guess, like I didn't pay too much attention to this, like, and it can be clarified, but like if you punch up into master and you are in A in sub-gauge, I think you punch up into double A in sub-gauge at the same time or the end of the year. But that rule is coming. That was a rule that was voted on. It was approved. And I'm sure there'll be more clarification as that rule is instituted. Okay. And I think that will be I think this is starting next year because it was going to blow people away now, I think, or maybe it's being instituted now. You'll see it by the time this comes out. It'll be very clear if it's instituted right now or next year. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's sub gauge. And I think that will make a lot of people happy. We heard a lot about that from a lot of people. So the rules that were being voted on that are being passed overwhelmingly from what we hear is we're going to remove E-class. There is no need for it. It sort of becomes a parking place for a lot of people. And then any person who joins the NSCA comes in. So there's going to be D through master. Oh, one other thing I want to say about pro class at those shoots, they will have a separate purse. But their punches and all that will still remain in masters. I wanted to be very clear about that. There is not a separate punch class for pro, right? They are still masters when it comes to punches, qualifying for all that. So I wanted to be clear. So there, next year, this rule about removing E will be January 1st. So there will be D through masters. Okay, those are the rankings. You will start in C. That gives you a place to be down class to. That's why they're starting in C. So C will quickly become the biggest class of all of them as new members come in. We get about 7,000 new members every year. That's math, I think, that you and I did one day, Jason, asking each other what our entry numbers were. And we took a guess that it was about 7,000. So I'm just speculating. So that's going to be a big class. And what we wanted to do was give people who are coming in opportunities to punch up quicker in the lower classes and then slow down. So we're going to reduce C and D classes required punches to punch into the next class. You're only going to need 4 punches. It was 6. In C and B, you're going to need 6 punches. It was 8. B and A, B to A, it is going to be 10 punches. It was 12. And A to double A is 14 punches. There's no change in that. And double A to master is 20. There's no punch change in that. Some people suggested that maybe to make masterclass harder is to increase the amount of punches you need to get into masterclass. And that might be a discussion after the classes settle, after a couple more years and the classes are settled, and we could see how people are progressing in classes. We may tweak this again. Listen, the good news about all this, we meet every year. We can make changes. We're, you know, it's like this all, I don't expect all of this will be perfect, but our intention is to get it perfect, you know? And it's like, if we make a tweak, I'm sure we'll hear they can't make up their mind. They blew it. Okay, fine. I'm happy to take all that responsibility and pressure. Great. Our big vision, our long-term vision is to get this right. You know, we want to get it right so that we are a legitimate sport and a marketable sport that some advertisers and marketers down the road can come in and say, yeah, this looks real to us. We don't want to have to get real after, you know, after marketers say, what are you doing here? So that's part of what this is. Okay. So that is, that's that on new one less class and a different set of punches to get in. The 12, the sub gauge that we talked about, all that will take place on 2025. That's when that happens. So the rest of this year will be D-class sandbaggers who are masterclass shooters. That will end. This will be the last nationals that will happen. And then a shooter may request a 1,000 target review of subclass only. Their sub-gauge classification is equal to or higher than their 12-gauge. So you can only do a review. It's only going to stick within those confines that we created. So that's a rule that went out for boat. And as I'll remind again, that it seems like it's going to be overwhelmingly approved. Shooting order and rotation. So basically what's interesting, and this happened to me a few times in squads, you don't have to rotate. The squad can pick whatever order they want to go in and stick to that order. Like I could be the first shooter every single time. There's no rule that says that you can't. We all do it so that everybody gets a chance being last and everybody gets a chance opportunity to be first. But there's no rule. Well, we put in a rule that says you have to put yourself into an order and rotate that order at every single station. Okay.
Awesome.
Then the next rule is European rotation. So that's basically like you can go to any station you want to and any order you want to. And if you want people to really hate you, you start at the last station and work backwards. That's those people that you just hate. European rotation, you can just go to an open station. And it's usually, sometimes it's a self-score, sometimes it isn't. But it's like, you know, people show up, go with the way they want. A lot of people, from what we heard, people doing it with two people. And it just opens the door for people to tweak their scorecard. And so we raise that to three people, a minimum of three people. Sure, it can still happen, but, you know, now three people have to look each other in the eye and go, yeah, we're going to do this. Okay. So that's a change. Attempting targets. So there was some curiosity about, like, if a target goes behind a tree and it appears on the other side and it's still in the air, can you shoot it? Well, yeah. I mean, I think what was happening was, from what we heard, some people were timing their shots so that when they hit a tree or something, they could claim that they broke it, that their shot broke it and not the tree. Seriously. And so now the rule is it has to be in flight, right? So if you're a judge, you could say, no, it hit the tree. You need to shoot it when it's in flight. Well, it was in flight. No, it wasn't. Okay, lost bird, done. So that's that. We just had some. And the rule says targets will be presented for attempt by the shooter and scored at each station in one or more of the following formats. Targets intentionally thrown in the air must be attempted while in flight and in clear view of the referee. Targets intentionally thrown along the ground must be attempted while in motion. That's a rabbit. Or by any intentional limit stick that has been put up, right, if there's any. And any exception to these rules have to be clearly marked on the menu. So we just wanted to add some clarification there. those are the rule changes. We have some more that we just didn't get to. We had a lot going on, so we said, look, this is enough. So that's where we are.
Well, you know, Mark, obviously the NSCA is trying to tackle the great masterclass issue. And you know, obviously all of classes, but masterclass has always been the biggest debacle, the biggest topic of all. And credit to the EC and the NSCA for at least attempting to try something to make it better. You know, I mean, we hear a lot of grumblings about, why don't the NSCA do that? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? But what I try to explain to people, maybe you can back me up on this, Mark, is every change is calculated, because when you make a change, it's a ripple effect, not just in one direction, in all directions of what it can do. So credit to the NSCA for, you know, making changes to attempt to make it better, make it more professional.
Yeah, I want to add a thought to that. So, you know, we show up for 3 days in San Antonio, we go, we're going to make all these rule changes. That's just going to blow you guys up. And then we get on planes and go back home. And, you know, Michael Hampton Jr.'s phone blows up. Nikki Bauer's phone blows up. They want to crawl in holes.
Our email blows up. Yeah.
Yep. Everybody's does. It's like, indeed. Okay. Yep. So, but they believed in what we were doing, and they went through it because they know we were going to have to go through this. You know, we're probably going to go through it next year because we got more changes coming. But we all know we're not looking at this year or next year. We're looking 5 years from now. You know, it's like we're getting it to a place. And I really applaud the just the fortitude that the folks, that the entire team, the NSCA team down in San Antonio did to see this through, answer everybody's question. Certainly some people were going, I sent them an email. I got emails saying, I sent them an email this morning. I haven't heard from them today. Seriously. So I said, give them some time. And, you know, and they got back to everybody. And, you know, here we are settled. So my hat's off to them. We're all really happy. And the other thing I wanted to add is, you know, I joined the executive council almost 4 years ago. And, you know, I had heard, you know, we want all these changes. They never get approved. They never do anything that we ask. I'd heard rumors of that. And I will tell you, we've put some big, bold things in front of them. We're starting to spend a pile of money that's sitting in the NSCA coffers on programs. We are changing rules. We're trying to make this sport better. And not once have they denied us a thing. They have not denied us one thing. Like the down class, Michael wasn't in it. Michael had to be in the NSCA meeting. The NSS meeting. And we changed the rules. We voted on it. We approved it. Michael walked in and said, we can't go do it this way. And so we said, well, we voted on it. He goes, listen, here's the facts. And what he does is explained what they face, because they have insight that we don't. And the way he explained it and the route he helped us achieve the same thing, but in a different process. So we got to exactly where we wanted to, but we did it in a way that would not blow up the rules, the system, or anything like that. Cause we were just going to like napalm it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and they knew that they were going to have to take care of it, but they also had so much knowledge that we didn't, and it was just a great partnership. So I really want to give a shout out to them.
That's awesome.
Good deal.
Mark, you know, Sean and I get a ton of emails, suggestions and stuff, and we kind of wrote a few down. If you've got a quick minute, maybe we get your opinion on them, or if it's something they think, well, I'll tell you what, we'd like to get your opinion on these ideas. And then why don't somebody from the executive council explain to these people who they should be writing for these rule changes? This, Sean, I'll take this first one. And the reason why I want to take this one is because I had mentioned this before on a previous podcast, and I think somebody fed off of it. The idea was adding win points to the classification system in addition to the punches, only to be attained from main events, not side events. So I know where this person's coming from, Mark, and listen, I'm guilty of it myself. I recently just punched into Masterclass, and I have only got, like, if we went by what this person is suggesting, where they get a win point from a main event win, not a side event win, I would only have 2 win points because all my punches came from seconds and side events like, you know, Super Sporting or Five Stand or whatever. What's your opinion on that, Mark? I mean, is this something that they would entertain?
Well, first, like, okay, a win point is basically if you win a tournament.
So a main event win would give you a win point, and then you can say, okay, from AA to Masters, not only do you have to have your punches, but you also have to obtain at least 5 win points, and then you could break that down through the classes.
Is that a win at a tiny little shoot in Ohio as compared to a win at the Northeast Regional?
Again, it's an idea, you know.
Dude, I mean, that's like, how do you compare those two? Okay, I won a 50-person shoot. Like, okay, does that match to winning my class at the Northeast Regional? I don't think it does. Like, I think the CCERF, whatever it's called, that does it. That takes all your points and puts it and ranks it up there. I think we have wins there. That's what that is. It's not wins. It's your score, right? It's your scoring average across all of your pieces. So I think you have something that reflects win points in the CCR.
Right. Well, that's what I was just getting ready to say. Sean, why don't you take idea number 2 here that we got written down?
Yeah, and another idea, which is going into what you were saying, Mark, so adding the CCFR as part of advancement requirements. So, for instance, and I'm not really sure how the math would work out, there's probably going to be some weird anomalies where this would come into play, but if we factor in the CCFR as part of the criteria to go up, just as the same way we use it now to be downclassed, is there a way we can add that in? And then, I guess... To what I think is being portrayed by this is winning with a high percentage. I mean, you can earn punches, and you know, I guess your CCFR might not be as high without it.
Well, let me give a perfect example of this. We know people personally that have earned enough punches to punch up, and they've never won anything. Seconds and thirds at decent sized shoots, they've never won anything. I mean, like, punch 2 or 3 classes without winning anything. I think that's where some of this is coming from, you know?
Okay, so what happens, like, after that? They end up in a class? They end up in the next class, right? And where do they end up in the class? At the bottom of it?
Listen,
if they never won anything and they're in a higher class, they're not going to win anything, right?
Right.
Okay.
But is so that not, the class that they deserve?
But no, but that's what the CCR and a combination of punches and CCR about downclassing does. They go right back to where they were. They got there, but they don't have enough punches and a class rating to stay there, right?
So what Mark's saying, I think, Jason, is that the fact that they're taking the CCFR into effect with the downclass rule, even if they miraculously get punches to punch them up to a new class, they're immediately going to go right back down to the class.
Well, and CCFR I totally understand that. And I commend everything that's been done as far as the downclassing goes. But what I'm asking is, has there been any thought, based on these two first ideas here, has there been any thought to make it harder to progress, at, you know, in conjunction with the downclassing? Because it's, you know, look.
Okay.
I'm going to admit it. The two morons you're on the phone with do not belong in masterclass. So,
okay, I'll be cantankerous about it. It's like, if we have a way to get them down once they get up, do we care if they? Do we need to regulate them getting up? And what would that number be? Like, they earned it. Let them get there and see if they can get it. If they've never won, the down class will take care of it. Okay, so they're in it for a year and a half, right? Because they get the rest of the year that they punch in, and then the review comes the following year. Okay, they're just adding to the pot. It's sort of where we are. They earned it. You know, like, I don't know, we need to be so prescriptive on both ways, up and down. We have a way to get people out of class if they're not supposed to be in there, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
Part of it is just paperwork, and, you know, I mean, I'm sure it could be done. But if we have a way to right-size the class based upon ability, we have it now, you know, by refusing down class next year.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's been the problem. People never win anything. They get up and then they stay there. They don't have to get down. Their points can, you know, their punches and all that, or they could refuse it. They can just stay there forever. That's what we're cleaning up. So
right.
In 3 years, that won't be a question about people punching up, you know, because then they'll be back. Then they'll be back down the class and they'll take 2 years to get back into that position of being able to punch up again without winning anything. You know, listen, if we're still in this position and we still feel it's necessary, let's talk about it in 3 years when it settles out. I'm not for it. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying like we made this move. Let's let this soak in a bit and see what results we get from it.
No, I agree. That's a good way to look at it. I mean, it's going to take time to iron itself out, if you will, you know?
Yep.
So I agree 100%. So moving on, Mark, can you drop any news or hints about the Super Squad for this year's Nationals? Anything new and exciting you want to announce or maybe tease us with?
Well, the Super Squad is, I think all the rankings are in place. I think the Super Squad's in place. The live broadcast is coming back. Nice. This year, play by play, real moment by moment shooting, dozens and dozens of cameras. We're spending a lot of marketing money on it. It's going to be beautiful this year. So I'm looking forward to that. Want everybody to tune in and see that. I think that's it. I think the big question will be is, does Brandon Powell win it again or not? Based upon his 2024 start, man, it's going to be him and Zach fighting side by side the whole time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could be interesting for sure.
Yep. Yep.
So, well, Mark, the floor is yours, man. If there's anything else you want to talk about or get out there before we let you go, we'd open mic, my friend.
Thank you very much. So, listen, I just want to recognize the officers of the EC this year. It's Tim Miles from the Western Region is the chair. I'm first vice chair. Second vice chair is John Calandra from the South Central Region. Kevin Smith is from the North Central. He's the secretary. Sammy McFadden, we all know Sammy of You Shoot VTask. He is the parliamentarian. These guys are all great. And our past chairman and person that sat in was Brett Seibert. So those are the officers. And then there's another 10 folks that are part of the committee. So what I would say is what's been really interesting now that people are seeing that we can, like this committee has some authority and is making changes. I've had a lot of people ask how they get on it, how they can get involved. People don't want to get involved when they don't think anything's going to come of that. Now that they're seeing that things can come out of it, people are starting to say, I want back on, or I want to get on, or how do I help? And I love that. I love that everybody, not everybody, but there is a huge contingency of people who want to make this better, who have ideas. So I would urge you, nominations are coming out in July for national delegates. If you're interested, if you have something to say and then want to do something about it, there's a lot of people have stuff to say, but very few that want to do something about it. If you want to do something about it and own and be responsible for some of the change, run for national delegate. Once you're a national delegate and sort of get a taste of that, run for the executive council. We shape this organization. And I will tell you, it's fun. It's awesome having a vision and seeing it come through and see how it affects and knowing like we can make changes for the good for everybody. And I urge everybody to do it. If you don't want to do it, absolutely fine. You still have a vehicle to have your voice heard. Find out your national delegate. It is on the NSCA website under governance. They're all listed there. Find them, speak to them, talk to them on social media. Like, I love the conversation. I love that it lit up. Some people were going, oh my God, it's a mess. I go, no, I love this. We're having a good conversation. And yes, through the churn, good stuff came forward. And things like your podcast, you guys are getting it out there and more people will understand it and want to go forward with it. What's good, what gives me a sense of we're in the right direction is there's dozens and dozens of national delegates, and they are overwhelmingly voting and agreeing for this, and they represent everybody's voice. So it makes me feel like we're going in the good direction. But, you know, time will tell. Time will tell. And what we didn't get right, we will get right. And when we get that right, we will go after more stuff and continuously try to improve this
great, great game that we have that, you know, we can make it even better.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you for spending time with us. I know you're traveling abroad, and it was awesome to catch up with you for a little bit and talk about this. And it's important that we get the facts out. You know, rumors are about as plentiful as spent shotgun shells in this sport. So to get the facts out and not just opinions is important. And we appreciate you coming on and doing that.
Sure. Anytime, guys. And Jason, I think you're going to try to get on the executive council next year, aren't you?
Well, I got to be nominated first, so we'll see what happens. So,
okay, so here I am. I'm endorsing Jason Lambeau for National Delegate and Executive Council.
Yeah, oh boy. Feet in the
He's
fire,
a glutton
right?
for punishment, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He is.
Well, Mark, thank you for everything that you do as well as the rest of the EC board. Again, this is good stuff. I mean, I know a lot of people had questions and concerns about it and it caused a big uproar, but I think you're right. I think we had to start somewhere. I think we had to kind of test the waters. Let's see where it shakes out in a couple of years, and hopefully it'll be better off for the sport down the road.
It will. It will. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. The Dead Pair. Well, Jason, one thing I respect about Mark, he definitely gives his unvarnished opinion on everything. And to boot, not trying to make light of the situation, he's had some time to digest a lot of the feedback that's been flying around social media and elsewhere. So,
well, you know, but here's the thing is he actually, you know, he said it himself. He enjoyed that, right? Like he enjoyed seeing the conversation, and good or bad, let's hear it, you know? And man, the NSCA has taken a lot of heat, and, you know, some of it was rightfully so, some of it wasn't, but they've taken a lot of heat over the years. So, but you got to commend them. At least they're making an effort to move forward and they want to hear these conversations. So, like Mark said, and yes, I know, Sean, I'm throwing gas on the fire, but if you've got an idea about a rule change or a new rule or anything like that, you have to write or get a hold of your local delegates, and then we'll pass that information along to the EC. They can bring it up in their meeting, and, you know, it may take a while, but at least we'll get it in front of them, and at least that we can talk about it and have that conversation and see if it's something that we can implement.
Yeah, I also thought the other thing, which I didn't realize how far they were really going down with this, you know, when Mark said that this is going to take a couple of years to shake everybody out, you know, I kind of figured to, you know, this was the shock factor this year, get everybody in line. But no, it seems like they're going to continue this on. And he said maybe by the third or fourth year, everybody will be shook out and should be into the correct class based on their shooting ability, which is nice to know.
Well, you know, and a lot of the ideas, the questions that we had written down, and that's why I stopped at just those two, because I was on board with the people that had wrote us and said, hey, look, it needs to be harder to move up. But what he's doing by focusing, what the NSCA is doing on focusing on the down class is that it's like, look, it may be somewhat easy to move up, but you're going to end up in the class you belong, you know, and I like that.
Yep.
Hopefully it gets me down out of Masters as fast as possible. So, but I don't want to be there.
And if I understand the rules correctly, so, you know, again, I got down class the prior year. So last year I started off in AA, went back to Masters class, and I'm in Masters class now because I wasn't in Master class for a full year. So with you just now recently going to Master class, you should be exempt from the review at the end of this year, if I understood him correctly. So you'll also be in Master class next year, unless something drastic happens, I'm assuming.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right in what you're saying.
I know you may not want to stay in master's class, but I'm just saying.
Let's be honest, okay? This is where I have a problem. And the seven shoots he's talking about, love it, okay? All the top guys are going to be in their own super squad or what everybody's been calling a pro class forever. There's your gift. There's your pro class. But it's the shoots that we go to. For example, I'm going to the World Championship at M&M or any of these big blast shoots. Now, all of a sudden, I've got to go up against Brandon, Anthony, David, Wendell. I mean, the list goes on. Corey, name your favorite to Zach, any of your top favorite pros. This moron, this redneck from Ohio, has to go up and try and beat them. Okay?
Jason, you're preaching to the choir,
I know,
bud.
But here's the thing is, Anthony could fall down a 1,000-foot cliff and hit his head 500 times on the way down, get up with thorns in his eyes and stand in the box and outshoot me any day of the week. Now, what in the world am I doing in master's class? Okay. So, but you know what though? Good on the NSCA, good on the executive council for trying to make a change, trying to make it better. I think it's awesome. And
yeah, you got to start somewhere, right?
Let's see how it shakes out. So
yeah, absolutely.
In the meantime, we hope this doesn't deter you from the Dead Pair Challenge. Take someone new shooting once a month. We want to see it happen. Send us those pictures. You know, when you take someone new shooting, send us the pictures. Tag us on social media. If you want, make a 10-second video clip. Send it to us. We'll put it up on our page, or you can put it up on the Dead Pair Public group page on Facebook. Whatever. If you're not on social media, send it to us and we'll put it up. I think it'd be cool to see you and your friend, your new shooter friend, out smiling, having fun, busting some birds. And it's validation that this is working. It's validation that you love the sport and you want to see it grow as well. So,
and that's we keep saying it week after week. This is exactly why we started this podcast. We want to bring more people into the sport, show them how much fun it is.
Absolutely. So, Sean Alley, I can't win a championship, so you and I might as well be the best ambassadors we could be to the sport by trying to help grow it, and we'll do what we can for sure, week in and week out.
That's right. We all got to know our place in this world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, Sean Alley, listen, man, this has been fun. I hope this clarified some things on the new rule changes and the new rules. So, got any questions, write to your delegates, write to the NSCA. In the meantime, Mr. Alley, until next week.
Can't wait to see you all back here on the Dead Pair Podcast.
We'll see you next time on the Dead Pair Podcast.
The Dead Pair. The Dead Pair Podcast is brought to you by Elite Shotguns and Vero Beach Clay Shooting and is fueled by Fiocchi USA. The Dead Pair theme song was written, arranged, and produced by Toby Tomplay. Special thanks to the following sponsors: Rhino, Odo Pro, Don Grant, Atlas Trap Company, and RE Ranger.